Welcome to North Star, where we lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our campus in Blacksburg, Virginia. You can learn more about North Star by clicking on our website, northstarfamily.org. Thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church.
We had 26 in total that went with us to Anderson, South Carolina this last week. And the theme, yeah, woo! And I want to just say a couple words, and then I've tapped a couple of people to share with you guys this morning. But we went to Anderson, South Carolina, Crossroads Summer Camp. The theme was overflow and understanding that God's has an overflowing love for us personally and then for those around us as well. God really worked in our group this past week. We saw four people respond to the gospel. And I want to say, we talked a little bit about what it means to be saved and then growing from there. And as I challenged you guys last week as a church, I want to challenge you again. You probably all have been a part of church culture where somebody's gone to camp and has responded to the gospel, and you can look back and say, man, what happened? Well, I want to challenge you guys to encourage and to really just give those people who I can point out to you guys another time that responded to the gospel, to encourage them to continue on in the faith. It takes a church body to help people to grow. If they have to go by themselves and maybe try to figure it out by themselves, it's not going to go too well. So we have a great group of young people who are going to be pouring into them, but I want you as a church to pour into them as well. And so I have tapped a couple of people. We're going to start on this side, and it's going to go this way, and they're going to share for just a quick minute. Emma Nelson, first, Matthew, can you step up? Matthew wore our camp shirt. That was our theme. Yay, Matthew. And Emma, I'm going to let you go first, but before you do, Rachel Christian asked me to read something. She hurt her neck, and she's not here this morning, so before you go, I'm going to read her statement. This is Rachel Christian's statement. She's a senior. She'll be going to VCU in the fall. The Lord was moving in many ways among all of us this week at camp. He revealed things to me through my personal quiet time and then reinforced them with what was spoken in the sessions. He reminded me that I first need to be a woman after God's heart before I'm anything else. I learned the importance of trusting God rather than just trying to please him. I cannot try to do better on my own, but I need to trust him to guide me as I work out my salvation, to shape me into who I will become, and that will bring the fruitfulness that pleases him. He also reminded me of the importance of fellowship with other people who fear the Lord, to love me in my vulnerability, hold me accountable, and encourage me to pursue him. This experience with the youth group prepares me as I move into the next part of my life at VCU. Rachel Christian. Emma, go ahead.
Okay. Is it on? Okay. Hi, guys. I'm just going to be talking real quick about the impact of the youth group. People have always meant a lot to me. I have a lot of friends. But I have none who encourage me so much as the youth group. So, I mean, they're really like family, you know. And there's so many horror stories of youth groups, but I cannot relate because I love these people and they love me. And since we're all rooted in Christ, it means like, so much more than just a typical relationship. I have found so many like friends in this youth group that really push me to have the integrity and pride of a young woman in Christ. And the youth leaders, like Alex over here, is like a big brother, and he means so much more than he'll ever know. And Jess over there is always there with the greatest advice and a smoothie. So, and this week at camp, you know, I could really see the spirit of Christ in all of us, how we're there for each other, unlike, you know, anything I've ever seen. And I even worshiped my brother. So I know there's a spirit of Christ in there. that's all I wanted to say. I just want to brag on these people and how thankful I am for them and the fact that we're all trying to follow God together and we all grow each other through Christ. So that's it.
I think those in the youth group praise is that Emma Nelson did not just bawl her eyes out. She made it through. Something that I want to praise God for is that he is so faithful to just reveal more about himself, regardless of how long you've been in the church. Or if you're a new believer, he's always faithful to just reveal himself. I was taught things or reminded of things that I may have forgotten about God this week. And I'm thankful for that, that he always pursues us and never lets us forget how powerful he is and gracious. I also wanted to just brag on this youth group. I'm going to be leaving in August, and I've just experienced, the theme this week was overflow. And I've just experienced so much overflow just from the leaders and just these people into my life. Like, I know it's cheesy, but I would not be the person I am today without the people that you see up here. They've just molded me and encouraged me and encouraged me to be bold and just stand up for my faith. And I'm just thankful for that. And I honestly, again, I would not be the person I am today or in my faith, honestly, wouldn't be as strong in my faith without these people. And I just wanted to publicly just recognize Alex and Jess and Abigail and all the leaders who just overflow service to this youth group as well. They're just so selfless and servant-hearted, and I'm very thankful for y'all. So I got to see that this week, so I'm very thankful.
Just a guess, that's me. So we had 26 people there this week, and in case y'all didn't know, 4 years ago, there were five of us. And that's a little different, and that stood out to me. But there was a night when we were all sharing. The first half of the week, we broke into small groups. But Thursday night, we went as a big group and shared about the week and shared about how we had seen God with each other. And of course, it got very emotional. I might have cried a little bit, just a little. And I actually got Alex to cry, and that's an accomplishment.
That's lies and manipulation.
It's not. It was a great moment because, among other things, we could all see, and I'm going to brag on you, sorry, we could all see how Alex had impacted every single one of us. If there is a youth leader that you want your kids to be working under, it's this guy. He went and he dry roasted and encouraged the stuffing out of every single one of us. And that was just awesome. And that was just one night. So that was cool.
I have mine written down, so. It's very uncomfortable. So this week we all enjoyed activities such as Gaga Ball, Cornhole, and Can Jam. But others of us enjoyed the sporting tournaments like soccer, basketball, and dodgeball. Though bringing home a trophy from the soccer tournament was great, we brought home something even more special. We brought home four people that got saved. Avery, Blake, Sam, and Joe. It's such a great feeling to see these people come to know Christ like I did my first year at camp. And we are losing a lot of seniors and three buyers who are moving to Kansas. And we're gaining a new group of young people that are so passionate about growing in their faith. And I truly cannot wait to see where God leads them.
Hi, okay. So I had a really great time at camp this week because we got to spend a lot of great time together. I think even if a bunch of us have known each other for a really long time, like 4 years or like 5 years or whatever, we got to meet a lot of new people too and grow. Everybody got to grow in Christ. So one thing that really stuck out to me was in the messages, they talked a lot about the power of God and the overflow of God's love, which was actually like the theme this week, overflow, which is really cool. And so they talked about how everyone has this hole in their life without Jesus, and this hole we want to fill with other things, but the only thing that can fill that hole is God, and he's our only satisfaction. And so, yeah, that's it.
Hi, I'm Emma. Overall, we had a great week at camp. For me, this was a big week of conviction, especially for the little things, like how great God is and how big his love is for us and how little I am and that I'm a sinner. But because of Jesus, we have hope. On the last night, our speaker, Clayton King, asked those who felt called into ministry to come to the front and pray with one of the camp counselors, and I felt God calling me to the mission field and to be a missionary nurse. I don't know when I'm going to do this, and I'm not quite sure how, but I was just overflowed with this calling that God gave me in my heart, and I just can't wait to see where God will take me and all these wonderful people in the youth group.
Hi. This past week at camp was my first experience in a while of being in a youth group and being around people who praise Jesus with you, and so it was really important to me. And it really opened my eyes, and to be around all these people who also love Jesus, like we all have said, like, it overflowed, and it made me see how important he was in my life, and so it was amazing to be around all these people, and thank you guys.
Hi, so I think for me, one of the most memorable parts of camp was a girls' devotion that we actually had. Sorry, guys, you weren't there, but but it was the second one we had, and actually our two girl leaders that came, Jess and Anna, washed all of our feet. And for me, that's something that I had heard of in the Bible, and I knew it was a big part of, like, God or Jesus showing how you can be a servant, but I never actually experienced that. And so that was really amazing just to experience. And we'd actually been playing tackle, duck, duck, goose before that, so our feet were extra dirty. We had grass everywhere. And so I just am really thankful for all of our leaders and that we got to experience that.
Well, that's just not fair. Okay. So this week was amazing. My name is Jessica. This is my first year at youth camp, and I mean, the speakers really brought it, and Alex and I were joking the first night that we were about to get resaved because Clayton King was just so faithful in his ministry and pursuing what he wanted the Holy Spirit to say. When Alex asked me to share, he said, you know, you don't need to mention me by name, and I said, you know, like, I respect your leadership, but I am not going to listen to you. So the second night, this guy Algernon Tennyson spoke, and he said, you know, as youth leaders, you think your job is about making youth group fun, and we end up with these 18-year-olds who leave, and they don't know anything. They have no roots in the Bible, and you know what? Alex is so faithful to serving the Lord and really instilling roots in these kids and teaching them the word every single week. And, you know, we do have fun, certainly, and we play games from week to week, but I think his faithfulness to teaching our youth about the Word of God every single week is really what was preparing that soil for this week to be so impactful. And so if you think about it this week, just thank God for Alex and for his faithfulness to teaching our youth the Word of God. We did have a lot of fun, though, this week, too. We played a lot of Gaga ball. There's several injuries, many, many injuries, but I mean, I think it just is a testament to our youth. They're so passionate and they're so intense in everything they do, whether it be tackle, duck, duck, goose, or praising the Lord with their whole heart. And I was really blown away this week by their eagerness to just dive into what God had. And like Rachel said, you know, I had planned devotions that I wanted to have with the girls the week before we went, and then each night what I had planned was like echoed in what the speaker was saying or the worship leader, and I was floored. And I think when you see that sort of coherency, you just know that the Holy Spirit was working. And yeah, I mean, to say it was amazing is just an understatement. But
and I just want to say a quick word. I've been in a lot of youth groups, one youth group for a lot of years, and saw different transitions and different, I guess, like, well, obviously people graduate, new people come in, and there's different cultures. And I've served in different youth groups while I was in college and right after college. And as, you know, I told these people on Thursday night, this is one of the only youth groups that I've been a part of that truly loves each other in a way that just astounds me every single week. And I told them, and I tell them every single week, I didn't have a great family life growing up, but these people right here are my family. And I love them immensely. So thank you guys. That's it.
I am not Neil Nelson. Neil was slated to preach, and we're calling an audible this morning because we would be in our second sermon of our Think to Change series. And as Alex and Neil and I were huddled up over there just a few moments ago, it's such a powerful message as we talk about it's important. Last week we talked about how important it is to believe that salvation is through grace by faith alone. And then today we would be talking about how should we behave if we believe that. And then the third series would be who do we become if we believe and behave in those manners. And we just really want to have the appropriate amount of time for Neil to be able to amplify and talk with us about that we're calling it audible this morning. And so we're going to have just a couple of moments of share time in response to what our youth said. But I want to share with you just from, I've been reading through Genesis, Exodus, I skipped Leviticus, sorry, Numbers, and now I'm in Deuteronomy. And this morning for my quiet time, I read Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I wanted to share with you something that stuck out to me in my quiet time this morning in Deuteronomy 7. But the context of it is that Moses has brought the people of Israel finally to the Promised Land. And they're on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And you might recall that God has already told Moses he won't get to go into the Promised Land because of something that he'd done previously. And so he had begged and pleaded with the Lord in Deuteronomy 5, please let me go in. And God said, don't talk to me about this again. You're not going to go in. And so what you have in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 7 are some of Moses' last words to the people of Israel. And he's sharing with them just his perspective and what God has told him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, beginning in verse 6, he reminds them of this incredible truth. He says, you are a people holy to the Lord, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you are the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And that just struck me this morning as I was reading, is that our identity is because of what God has done for us, not because of anything that we deserve. It's not because of our intelligence. It's not because of our technology. It's not because of our background. It's not because of our genealogies. It's not because of our possessions or our education or anything like that. It's we are beloved by God, period. And that shapes our identity. And the more that we come to grips with the fact that God loves us because he chose to love us, it humbles us. And it helps us understand that we have nothing to offer him except gratitude and accept our loving service. And then, and there's another section in Deuteronomy 7 that just really struck me. He's talking about how when they get into the Promised Land, they're going to have to conquer seven nations. And he says, I want you to totally conquer them. I want you to drive them all out. I don't want you to leave any survivors. He's going to judge these seven nations. And then he says he's going to send hornets among them to drive out the peoples. But in Deuteronomy 7, verse 22, there's this interesting phrase, and it says this, the Lord your God will clear away those nations before you little by little. You may not make an end of them at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they're destroyed. And so that phrase, little by little, struck me this morning too, is that in my life, sometimes I want God to do something for me or for North Star all at once. Like even when I'm praying about the Immeasurably More campaign, I'm saying, God, just drop a $4 million check in the offering plate today. Let's just get this done all at once. But the Lord says again and again in his word that he wants us to depend upon him daily. And this phrase, little by little, reminds me that I am not given permission to look for the big deliverance, but I am giving an invitation to depend upon God day by day, moment by moment, little by little. And I don't know if you find yourself there in that part of your life or in a situation or a decision right now, but sometimes we're looking for God to get us out, and we're just wanting for God to deliver us and to fix it. But we need to look for those little by little moments, those ways that God is reminding us of his promises, the ways that God is showing us on any given day that he is still at work, he still loves you, but he's in process of refining you as he leads you into the land that he wants to bring you into his promises. And so I did want to just kind of open it up before we wrap up. If there's some of you that might have just a response that you want to affirm our youth or speak a word of encouragement to our youth ministry or just to the church, or if God's laid a scripture on your heart, we're not going to take a lot of time here. We want to get you out, and I know our children's workers really appreciate it when we're able to get out relatively on time. But is there someone here that would just say, man, I'd love to share just a quick word for the church this morning?
All right. Well, I started the other week, so I thought I'd start again, Jeff. I guess maybe kind of going along with a big small group, Romans 5, 3 through 5. The last 2 weeks we've talked about rejoice in suffering, and the context of that isn't just like the daily life, the daily hardships, but the suffering for Christ's name. And I think sometimes we have a hard time connecting with that in our society. I think if any suffering that some of us receive is more, you know, like mental, like basically saying you're stupid for believing in that. I mean, we don't have the physical suffering and persecution. I mean, maybe it might be coming. I don't know. But I wanted to share from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. For you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. So this church in Thessalonica accepted Christ, were called by God, accepted Christ to face persecution. Like, and I just, you know, I want to encourage us, if we're hesitant about speaking Christ's name to our coworkers, about telling them the gospel, to people we hear, man, this church in Thessalonica, it was, you're going to come to Christ and you're going to be persecuted. Like that was the reality. And they said, yeah, sign me up. We're going to come to Christ and be persecuted just like you. So let's take courage that, you know, in many ways it's not that difficult here. But, man, just speak Christ. Speak the gospel to your friends, to your coworkers, to your neighbors.
Michael?
So, you know, listening to the youth was encouraging to me. And specifically, one of the things that stuck out was Emma talking about, you know, how the youth are her family. Because that's really something that I feel strongly about everyone here is North Star is a family. And, you know, certainly I think we have some strong leadership that is impressing that on us. But it doesn't surprise me that the youth feel that way, because everyone here also feels that way. And it really is, you know, part of our DNA. So it's not surprising to me at all that the youth are picking that up from us. And I just think it's awesome that it's just so evident here. You know, as you know, I'm getting ready to leave in a couple months here. I'm just sort of like reflecting on my time at North Star. And probably about a month ago, Neil and I were talking, and he asked me, you know, what's one takeaway from your time here? And I was thinking about it, and I think that one of my top takeaways is I learned how to live relationally at North Star. My life has changed in that way because of all of you. And so I find it so encouraging that the youth are picking that up, and I just want to encourage all of you to continue living relationally and never lose that as part of what North Star is.
Thanks, Michael. Let me do this. Who's got their hands up? Emily? Emily's going to share, and then Britt Stoudemire. After Emily shares, will you come up here with me? And I'll cut you off at 11:15-ish, but I want you to share what you shared with me on the phone that day. Can you do that? Thank you.
Hello. Most of you know that I'm super chatty, so I'll try to keep it short. It was very encouraging for me to hear from the youth and just to see that their faith and how it grows daily and just to see how much love is just obviously in the group and from the leaders and towards the leaders, and that's great. Something that I really want to encourage the graduating seniors to do is find a college ministry when you go to college. It's an awesome time. You're free. You can experience all sort of independence, but it's so important to get plugged in and not just forget all this amazing thing or all these amazing things that you've done in your youth group. Don't just leave it in your youth group. Take it to a college ministry. And if you're staying here, going to community college, not going to college, then get involved here. Get involved in North Star's college ministry. Don't just let it fizzle because youth group is done. So.
Thanks, Emily. Britt, come on up. As Britt's coming up, let me show you a little bit of context. Our member meeting a few weeks ago, we shared with the church that we'd had three banks turn us down for financing for our Measurably More campaign. And our member meeting was incredibly encouraging. Our members kind of came around, and we just moved both into problem-solving phase, but we also just moved into prayer phase to determine what God was communicating to us as we're trying to move forward with our Measurably More campaign. And the very next day, Britt gave me a phone call, both to encourage me, but also just to kind of share what God put on his heart about that. So, Britt.
I think the word that Jeff and I reiterated to each other was commitment. And I'm going to share with that, but there's something else on my heart that I want to share, too, before I start, and it has to do with commitment and the youth. I was at a leadership camp last week. It actually happened to be at Anderson College, so I was there right before you guys, and it's called Palmetto Boys State, which I've been a part of for about 25 years, and we have 1,000 of South Carolina's rising seniors come, and they learn about state government. But they also learn about much more than state government. As one of our staff members put, we're a spirit-driven program. Although we don't teach the gospel, the kids can see it in us. And I just want to share with you, I can't really put into words what happens during the week. And we talk about, with the youth, so many good things that happen, but we also have struggles in our life. And in my position, yeah, I'm an advisor over a county which has three cities and split up in about 40 guys in each city. And on the last night that I was there, all the cities are sharing, and people are just, you know, sharing their stories and opening up to the other young people that are there. And, you know, I heard one citizen there, you know, 2 weeks before he came, he was contemplating suicide. And he shared his story and, you know, how much that week had helped him and having that friendship and good counsel, and in your case, godly counsel, to support him. And, you know, I felt led to share parts of my story with them, that we all struggle. We're all going to struggle, but our commitment to Christ helps us through those struggles. And so it was about 2 in the morning. You know, I was kind of done, and I decided to head on home so that I could be home to come to church on Sunday. And I received an email on Monday about the death of one of my junior counselor's brother. And so after I left at 2 o'clock in the morning, his parents and his grandparents showed up at about 4 a.m. to pick him up and take him home. I had spent time with this young man. He had ridden in my golf cart. We had talked. He was so blessed to be there. His brother was murdered that day, was shot and killed in Columbia. Somebody was trying to rob him. And I've struggled this week with that, in trying to grip the fact of how precious life is. I would just like to say a prayer for that young man and his family, and then I want to talk about what Jeff wanted me to talk about. His name is Elijah Lipscomb, and his brother was D'Angelo Henderson. Lord, I pray for Elijah and his family. Lord, I hurt for them. I grieve for them, Lord, at the senseless loss of of their brother, Lord, but I know you have a bigger purpose and a bigger will, and I know you put him at Boise State last week, Lord, so that he would have young people that loved him all around him, Lord. Lord, he didn't want to leave, but his parents wanted him to come with him, Lord, and that just shows how important our youth are and how important friends are, Lord. We pray for him and his family, Lord, in this time of loss. In his name, amen. All right. So back to commitment. You know, when I came to the members meeting, I was listening, and the first thing I noticed is just how the quality of people that we have working on this project, and they had been working so hard, and I could see the dejection in their faces when we received some news from the banks. And the first thing I realized was we didn't get red flags. We had some caution flags from the banks, so they were still willing to lend us money. And I looked at some other things and ran some numbers, and the first thing I told Jeff on the phone was we have the money to do the project if we rearrange just a few things slightly. And he responded immediately. He goes, "You're right. I agree with you on that." And I said, "There's something else that God is trying to share with us and get us to see." And I said, "In our life, in our business that my wife and I have run, we've had so many caution flags, but we just try to barrel right through them, try to move right through them, and don't take heed to the caution that God has given us." And it seems as though, looking back, that many times we missed the point that he was trying to get across to us. And as I went on talking with Jeff, I said, "I really believe that this is not about our money. We have the money. We've had people that have given for this project, but it's our commitment." The thing that struck me was that of churches borrowing this type of money to build a church, usually have 250 or more givers. Regular givers, and our church had 90 because we come from a transient church where a lot of people are kind of coming in and out. And I shared this story with Jeff. I said, you know, Clemson Tigers, way back a long time ago, they had a program called IPTE, and it said, "I pledge $10 a year. And when they won the national championship this year in football, it wasn't just the team and the coach. It was a complete commitment from the fans all the way to the top. And my feeling was, and what was on my heart to share with him, is I believe the Lord does not have a number figure for us. He's not looking at numbers. He's not looking at a building. He's looking at commitment. And that commitment is crucial because the mission for this building is to bring people in, to be able to worship to more people, to share with more people. So we have to be committed before the project so that we'll be committed after as we bring people in. And so, you know, no matter the dollar amount, it's just a simple commitment. You know, I pledge $5 a month or $5 a week, but it's a commitment of all that we have, not just in money, but in what we're doing here in the church to bring people to Christ. And I shared with him a story with Lee and I, and I'll end up with this because I'm past my time here, but this is my last point. The story that I shared with him and had talked with him previously about was how God had helped us through a lot of tough times this past year. And trying to find what his mission for us was, what we were to do as we move forward, relying completely on him to help us do that, God made it clear that we were to build an event venue that will also be used as part of the mission and working with the church in the future as part of that as well. And this was a big project for us, you know, definitely was going to be a tight budget. But as we went through the process, you know, we've had caution flags. But things have happened that we have seen that are almost unbelievable because we know it's God's mission. But we had, after 15 years of business, of doing it on our own way, we finally had given it to God. And it seems through this process, he's worked out all those things. And when we've gotten caution flags, we've welcomed them. And we've been so excited because we know God's working in every aspect. I truly believe, and what I shared with Jeff, is I truly believe that God is working in all facets for this project. And that caution flags that he gives us are great signs for us to try to understand what he's trying to tell us. I told him I was just so encouraged and so excited moving forward and being a part of a growing church that wants to mission more and that is taking his time to listen to God and hear what he's saying, that I was just so excited. And I could tell during my conversation the emotion from Jeff. You know, I know being the preacher here at this church and being the leader here, you have that big project on your shoulders. But my encouragement was to Jeff that, and it had been in the past, it's on God's time, not our time. And I'm so proud to be a part of this church, to have Jeff as our preacher. And I look forward to seeing the many great things that we're going to do, but in God's time. And I appreciate the opportunity. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Well, let me close this in prayer. Thank you so much for being here today, for worshiping with us, for just listening to what God's been saying to us and through us today. Neil, thank you so much for your flexibility. We're excited, and we'll be praying for your message next week.